guys, this is Megan.
And Lisa.
And we have another invitation for you.
In February of 2018, we will be leading a retreat to India, and we would love for you to join us.
On this retreat, part of Lisa's Dancing with the Divine series, we'll be celebrating the vibrant holiday of Holi.
So please go to lisabennerliving.com and choose to make time and space for discovery and adventure.
Part of what we love about this podcast is getting to gather with each of you every time you listen.
Yeah.
So we are very much looking forward to gathering in person.
Yes.
Dhanyavadaha.
Dhanyavadaha.
Hello, you're listening to Thought Vibrations, a yoga satsang. I'm Megan.
And I'm Lisa. Thanks for joining the conversation. I love that we are giggly this morning.
Yeah, very. I mean, is that really out of the ordinary?
No.
For the, especially, I mean, like in life, but also like when we're recording, it's like put us down in front of a microphone and we just like smile.
Which is what, it's so funny, which is, actually someone said to me last night, I love how much you guys struggle with the like opening every time. But that's really why there's this lull, because we're trying not to giggle.
Right. And it was true. It's a big struggle. It's a big struggle.
Because we're very serious.
It's like we decided on our introduction a really long time ago, and now it's like, that's it.
Well, I also am like, why? It can be the introduction, but I don't know why it needs to be a serious introduction. We have just decided, like, there is no smiling, which is the worst. It's like, don't think of the pink elephant. Like, all we can do is chuckle.
Chuckles.
Chuckles are good.
Mm-hmm. So last week when we were recording, we were like, oh, let's do another one. And then the lack of inspiration was
palpable
in the room, exactly, present in the room. But then it's really funny, we just said, okay, I'll leave, we'll record another day. Hey, I'm back, we're recording. But the minute I left your apartment building, like, this idea shot into my brain. Like, literally, I walked out the front door of your building and like this idea just like popped right into my head. Yeah. So what the thought that occurred to me that I thought was really interesting was how in energetic practices, like pranayama or meditation, we often try to, I feel like a common thing that happens is we try to recreate the sensation that we once felt. So if we're practicing a particular technique and we feel a very particular way, like we have this specific sensation arise, the next time we sit down to practice that technique, sometimes, whether consciously or not, it's hard not to like go, okay, I'm ready for that really amazing feeling to happen again.
Yeah.
And then, so the thing that I was thinking of is that, oh, we kind of like do this in life all the time.
All the time. All the time. In fact, when you say it, it sounds to me like the cellular response of having something to measure success or failure against. It's like so deep inside of us that we're even looking for a repetition of sensation to tell us whether we're doing this practice right or wrong.
Oh, totally. Yeah, that didn't even really occur to me, but you're totally... I think you're really right, because that success failure thing, or like at least for me, really resonates. Like the desire to do something right, correctly, good.
Well, because we've had, like, you know, we don't know what it is, right?
Yeah.
It's new.
Yeah.
So when there's a result, whatever that result is, we tie it to the technique. And if it's pleasant, then we decide that we've done the technique correctly, right? So then we're like,
yes,
seeking
exactly
to repeat that or intensify it, I think, right? Like we're seeking to...
You're like, you get... Well, and also like you when something like that happens, when sensation occurs that we deem as pleasant, it's easy to go, oh, I'm on the right track.
Mm-hmm.
And then, just like you said, like, okay, next time I do this, I'm going to go even further, right? Like,
and the next time.
Right.
Not like later. Like, right, in fact, if time. I just take a break and have a drink and come back and do it again, it should be intense right now.
Right. Yeah, we have, all right, getting into like the expectations we have from our practice for sure. And then the need to do something correctly is kind of where that comes from, I think. The desire to replicate experience that I've felt as good, that I'm doing a good job, so now I'll do a good job again, which leads us to have the same expectation when really it's a totally brand new experience.
Right.
Each time we sit down, each time we practice the technique, it is allowed to be completely different.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think that we, can't only speak for myself, I guess. Do we allow that in our day-to-day life, the ability for it to be a unique experience? Or do we kind of go about our day expecting similar things to happen, expecting the same results as yesterday, the same sensations? And then if a different sensation happens, are we thrown off guard, similar to how we would be in our practice?
I mean, my gut instinct is to say yes, because I believe so much that there's that reflection. Like, I often think of the mat as a mirror, the microcosm reflecting the macrocosm, right? That this immediate experience in which we can start to get to know our response patterns in an environment that is not high stakes.
Yes.
So that we can
in an environment that's not high stakes. Yeah. That's exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm. I think that's part of what allows us to learn from it, right? That there's a little bit of space created from the lack of pressure. I mean, the pressure that's happening inside the practices are really ones we're putting on ourselves.
Yes.
Although we might like to blame our teacher for putting it on them.
I was just going to say that. Or our teacher putting it on them.
but we have still made a willful choice to submit, right? This is back to that idea of that we were talking about a few weeks ago with the student submitting to the teacher, right? Like, yeah. That's part of the agreement.
Mm-hmm.
When one can form trust, then one agrees to do what the teacher has offered in order, or is instructing us to do, because we trust their guidance, because we're going to come up against these sensations that aren't necessarily pleasant. But staying in that relationship is always an active choice, just mm-hmm. like staying in the practice is always an active choice,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to, but there, I do think that, so in a way, that pressure, which is very real, is also not arbitrary, but willful. So there can be a little bit of room around it, I think, in order to have clarity, because the stakes aren't so high. It's not like
exactly.
coming up against patterns in our lives in the situation of living.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
We want to take those things into living. That's why you and I are having these discussions in this podcast in the first place.
Right.
How do we take those experiences into living? So I think one of the beautiful gifts of the practice of the technique is that room, that we choose to apply pressure. We take these techniques that apply pressure to let us, you know, see.
Yeah. Give us the experience. Give us that sensation so that we can observe how we respond in particular situations of pressure or discomfort or anything.
Really.
It doesn't have to be quote unquote negative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had this discussion with somebody when I was in France about, you know, the statement was, well, I'm not really sharing my emotions because all of my emotions are positive and you keep inviting, you know, negative emotions.
Mm.
And my response was, I'm so sorry if that's what it seems like. I don't mean to, in any way, to say you can only talk about negative experiences or what you've categorized as negative or unpleasant experiences. But I will say that in my experience, usually positive emotions don't need an invitation.
Right.
Like, we usually are ready to you know,
right, that's our response. Mountaintops.
We want to share the pleasant things. It's not usually something that needs to be given a safe space.
Yeah.
To hold them. So my intention in the invitation is, you know, creating room for what I usually experience as being reserved.
Yes.
but yeah, any of the experiences. We are hopefully, you know, also dropping the expectation that the sensation or the experience will be negative. Right. It may not be. It will be whatever it is.
Right. There will be some sensation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And usually the ones we're trying to recreate, I think, on the whole, are ones that we've categorized as pleasant.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. It got me thinking a little bit about relationships, too. Hmm. Like, friendships, you know, any kind of relationship, really. Like, maybe even, like, coming back to, like, kind of, like, the longer you know somebody, the more expectation you have of that person.
The more condition
you have of that person.
Yeah. But,
you know, that's what happens. You kind of develop a shorthand with somebody. So your sensation in interacting with that person is actually probably fairly similar day to day, or like interaction to interaction, because we do develop this shorthand. It just brought me back again to this idea of expectation and how much are we expecting things to just be status quo versus allowing a multitude of emotions, sensations to kind of be presented to us day to day.
As in, is that, do you think that expectation or how we are used to relating to individuals actually shuts us off from awareness of other things? Back again to that idea of the world is full of magic. It's just waiting for our senses to be sharp enough to pick it up. Mm-hmm. Do we actually literally take in less, experience less, because we're only seeking certain experiences, certain sensations? We only expect a relationship to happen in a particular way. Mm-hmm. Does that maybe play into part of why we miss cues from people? And all of a sudden we're having a conversation with someone, particularly, you know, in closer relationships where it's like, okay, we need to talk, you know, and does part of that arise? I wonder how much is played into by the fact that, we just willfully or no, like I'm thinking maybe not even willfully.
Right. Yeah.
Ignoring, but completely missing the cues that are outside of what we are allowing our senses to be. We're just taking in, we're just allowing the awareness of what we expect or what we have decided we can handle.
Mm.
Which is why we can't see magic. We don't see spirit necessarily.
I completely understand what you're saying, and it gave me like this inspiration for two things.
Shocking.
It's my turn to have two things.
I think we need to rename the podcast.
Two things with Megan and Lisa. first, mm-hmm. that kind of that this idea of missing cues is actually a little bit of what we were talking about, of being in touch with your intuition. Mm-hmm. And you're, like what you're saying, like, you know, like if you're more in touch with your intuition, you're probably not going to miss those cues, actually. So allowing this practice to lead you, you know, maybe like in this idea of a Koshic view.
Mm.
So as we kind of were saying in an episode a couple of weeks ago, watching the, you know, getting closer to your emotions and more in touch with your emotions is bringing you closer to your true self.
Right.
Well, then intuition is actually beyond that. She's closer to the true self.
Yeah.
So as we're getting closer to our intuition, so as we're getting closer to our true self, which is what this practice is leading us towards, then, you know, are growing that relationship, then we are indeed getting more in touch with our intuition and in this intuitive state. And then perhaps then as we interact with the world around us, being in touch with our intuitive state, we're then aware of more of those subtle cues mm-hmm. from relationship, from individuals and relationships, and just generally from the environment around mm-hmm. us, like how the world is moving.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I thought of was that you were saying, I forget what you said at the beginning that brought it to mind, but kind of just like how we are interacting with the world and if we are getting, sorry, my train of thought is kind of lost. Basically, like you asked the question of, are we actually blocking things out? And is this practice kind of serving to help remove those blockages? And yes, it is, obviously, but it reminded me of like, well, yeah, very clearly is this view of expectation is blocking that, because when we remove that expectation, we start to experience this vibrating at a higher state.
Mm-hmm.
And so we actually do have that experience already. We're kind of relating it to our practice and ourself, but we can take that out into the world. We've had this experience, the science, you know, teaches this experience of like when you are doing this practice, your state starts to change, your level of awareness starts to change. And what I mean by that, I guess, is that, and you mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, you said, you know, that conversation you had with Will, like, I don't think I'm coming back from this. And he said, I never did.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So like our state, and I've experienced this to an extent as well. Like, I think the easiest way to kind of look at it, maybe just to bring it tangible, is, you know, you do a practice for a certain period of time, and then after a certain period of time, it doesn't really have the same effect anymore. Because it's not because the practice isn't working, it's because your state has changed.
You don't need those techniques.
You don't need those techniques anymore. So in looking at it with how we approach the world,
mm-hmm.
perhaps through this lens of expectation, we are potentially limiting ourselves to that next level of vibration. Yeah, just the way you were saying that really got me thinking about, well, yeah, we do experience this change in state, this change in perception. The more we're able to drop the expectation.
Dear friends,
just had a baby.
Mm-hmm. Oh. And it's always so beautiful and miraculous to me to watch, you know, a being that has chosen to enter this world in a body. The discovery.
Mm.
Like, the difference in how much their eyes are open one day to the next, or the distance they can see.
Mm-hmm.
Their absorption in the light, or the interplay between light and shadow, sound. When kids start screaming, I you know, not that there isn't necessarily a sensorial dissonance, but I also am like fascinated at how they discover their own voice.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little bit like this high-pitched wail, and then I feel like they're like, look what I can do. Like, who knew I could do that by myself? Willfully, you know?
Right.
Like, there are these fascination, like, I've watched them, like, just look at their hands or their feet and just figure out that belongs to them, and like their toes can open and curl and all of these things, like that sort of fascination.
Mm.
I think maybe that's why I often refer to, you know, why can't we use this observation to find ourselves fascinating? Like, that kind of fascinating means that there's always possibility, that the limit has been dropped. Because even though I just opened my hand and made a fist, when I do it again, I feel like they like look at each opening and closing of the fist is different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it continues to be discovery. Like that, imagine the magic of that. Like, I just wish that we didn't lose that I kept saying to her, I got to hold her for the last 3 days, and I kept saying to her, oh, what are you downloading now?
Yeah.
You know, like, there's just, like, this incredible, you can feel, it's palpable, the exchange of energy, like, this, like, vibrancy. And I feel like that's what we're getting back to, that right. discovery, and that requires a drop of expectation, and that requires what we have been talking about the last 2 weeks, vulnerability,
yeah,
and trust,
yeah,
right. So it's like, but you know, she doesn't move in the world with any notion of fear. Mm-hmm. And she's, you know, in many ways helpless, at least physically, as a brand new baby.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, we're what? Like, the only species, right, that is birthed having to be taken care of or will die.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, but, like, the energy, the spirit, this, like, complete openness to magic, the complete willingness to trust, the complete, like, being on an adventure.
Yeah.
That, yeah, quality.
So you're saying that this, what we're seeking, one of the things we're seeking in this practice is essentially getting back to that openness.
I think so.
Do you think it's a lot of unlearning?
Yeah.
Yeah, things that we've...
I do. I
tacked think... onto ourselves mm-hmm. over time to protect us.
I do.
Yeah.
I do. A little bit back to what we were talking about last week on the, you know, and it's actually true. You know, not trusting that the universe, like, you know, is the universe conspiring for our highest good, but that some incarnations of aspect of that universal spirit aren't conspiring for our highest good.
Mm.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Pulled into separate bits.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But then beneath that separation is the unity again. And so, you know, we're negotiating moving through life with the incarnation of that energy in separate bits while trusting, resting in, reconnecting to the unity that's behind, the unity that holds.
Yeah.
You know? And,
yes.
Right? So I do, yes, I do.
Building
think.
Trust in ourself.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. our ability to be open and to still persevere.
And I think that the things we've allowed to stick, those layers we've put on,
yeah.
are often conscious and unconscious protections or ways that we have formed to deal with the sensations that we have had, and that the yearning for, the attraction to the positive, pleasant sensation makes us shy away from, protect from the what we perceive as danger. And we are living in a state, as long as we're in this body, where we are dealing with both,
mm.
right? We are living in a plane in which there are separate entities of this one energy functioning at different vibrations. And as we come up against them, there is sensation, right? There is hurt. There is... actions of mistreatment against each other, and we all do it at different levels,
right,
as we perceive as different levels. But if you look at harm as harm,
right,
we all have and most likely will continue to, you know, participate or be responsible for that,
right?
And yet, and then we're also seeking to connect to this union that is beneath, around, holding, above, what, however we look at it.
Yeah.
that, you know, that negates that, because we are all moving in one vibrancy.
Well, I mean, exactly. That's what we're seeking. Like, how do I take this newfound understanding, these new sensations that I'm feeling, how do I take that into the world, into the, you know, how do I take this awareness of this union into my relationships with others?
Yeah, especially when the expectation is being broken or the sensation we're having is being negative, because it's really hard, I think, to want to admit that we are in union with the varying aspects of vibration of energy on this plane.
Yeah. Oh, God, that's super challenging. You see, you know, we have conflicts with people all the time. Yeah. And you want to go, that's not me. I'm not like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not.
And there
related.
Are plenty of things that I really both don't believe and don't want to believe that I'm capable of.
Right.
Right. And so there's also an attachment to there being separation, because when we have come up against negative or hurtful things, I think we really need it to be a them and us, or you and me. You know, on the whole, my personal experience has more been individual relationship, right? But this goes again into what we've been talking about in the last couple of weeks, this where we create a us and them mentality.
Mm.
And yeah, I think that, again, when we are looking at union, we're looking at it, we're still seeking the pleasant parts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all well and good to talk about the unification of the what we have classified as pleasant or unpleasant, or, you know, light and dark, or however we name those things.
Within ourselves.
Yeah, and especially when we're talking about it with these sort of like distant academic concepts. But how does that play out, really? You know? It's not really a... I understand the need for separation, and I play into the need for separation. I have a need for separation in some of those things. I don't want to be capable of some of the things I've been hearing about or reading about lately.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and I think what you're saying kind of reminds me of is this ability to have compassion for others. Like, I think the more that we're able to recognize ourselves in everyone, in every aspect of this vibration around us, that it does allow us more compassion.
Even if I can remember to have gratitude for the fact that I have been able to have a certain level of understanding or discernment, that I am able to make different choices, that I have seemingly functioned from coming into this plane from a particular perspective, that's a blessing that I can be grateful for. That my samskara, my lesson this time around, is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that I can have gratitude for that. And then, yeah, compassion. I mean, I really don't know how else to function in those moments, except for the ability of compassion lets me to be able to say, to take a moment and be like, wow, walking around in their skin, that would be really hard for me. I imagine that it's difficult for them, because it's the best thing I can do.
Right, exactly. I think that's a really big deal, though, to be able to look at another person who's causing you conflict and go, wow, that must be really hard for them.
It is a big deal.
Like, I just mean that it shouldn't be, like...
Oh, no, it shouldn't be dismissed. It's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
But that, what that makes me think about is how much that has been offered to me.
Hmm.
You know? Even when we go back to when we were talking about, you know, our experience of white privilege and being in a system that we didn't even know was giving us benefit or opportunity, and how much grace has been extended to me by people I love for so long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In that regard. And how much kindness for them to function from a position of choosing to believe my fundamental love for them over my lack of awareness.
Right.
That's extraordinary gift. Like, holy. Wow.
Yeah.
I have some thank you letters to write. For real, though, like, that's, yeah, like, extraordinary. And if that gift can be offered to me, then I can yearn to be capable of giving that gift to.
Right.
You know? And maybe that's how I start dropping expectation. Maybe that's how I start that. Isn't it a Goethe quote that's like, treat people by what they're capable of being, rather than treating them as you
see them.
It says as they are, but
ooh,
I can only go by how I see them, right? It's a big assumption for me to assume that how I see them is how they are. But if I can drop that level of expectation a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's so often that actually is where our expectation comes from. We're seeing a certain thing, and so we expect it to play out in a way that we've seen before. It's really easy to get caught up in that. Because, you know, it's coming from an experience, and we hold our experiences very dearly. This is kind of getting back into, like, when do you put that down? You know, in a yogic point of view, like, looking at holding on to memory is actually being avidya. Being something that's preventing you from moving forward in this practice by being so attached to your memories.
Mm-hmm. Right. How do we learn from our experiences and not attach to our experiences? Mm-hmm. Because they're only, you know, maybe that's a little bit of it too that I haven't thought about for a long time. Because It came up in, like, some friends of mine are moving, you know, moving in New York City is rough. And
I've done it several times. It's the worst.
It's the worst. But there's also the element of, a lot of times what I have witnessed, cause I, from, you know, observing, is that the, person moving, there's a lot of seemingly unnecessary stress put on them because the super or the management company or whatever is not communicating with them. It would be a very simple, like, yes, that's totally sorted, or it will be done on such and such a date. Like, so easy for them from, you know, the individual's perspective. But from the other person's perspective, like, the management company has, like, who knows, hundreds of properties they're dealing with, and your individual story is, like, a blip on the radar for them.
Right.
And complete lack of awareness or concern about how much stress you might be under, because it's like this blip of awareness. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like that we do that in life experiences. So what I have gone through in life because it's the totality of my experience becomes the totality of all experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so my memory, right, is part of what is creating this very limited possibility. Because
yes,
it's not to diminish one's own experiences. It is the totality of your own experience.
Yeah.
And that's very true. But that's not the totality of all experience. You know, remember when you were like 4 and you realized that not everyone's family functioned like yours. Some people have 2 parents, some people don't. Some people have 3 or 4 parents, right? Like, there's, like, this. Right. So, like there's.
Well, I was, when you said that, and I was even thinking of, like, some people's parents make peanut butter and jelly on whole wheat bread, and it tastes very different than your Wonder Bread.
Yeah. Very different.
Visceral sensation just came back to me.
Right? But there's that moment when you have, like, oh, everyone's family doesn't work like mine.
Yeah.
Right? Everything is like that.
Yeah.
All of our experiences are like that. And so, you know, we can function from the best of what we know, and then we have to have this draw, like this awareness of how much else there is in possibility.
Right. And I think where the conflict comes in is this conflict within ourselves is that we feel like this practice is trying to make us forget everything we've ever known. And it's not. You still are you. You can learn beyond everything you've ever known. You can appreciate the experience from the flip side of the coin, from the other side, and gain more knowledge. It's not saying, when we say put things down, we're not saying forget. When I say don't get wrapped up in your memory, I'm not saying forget that memory. I'm saying don't get wrapped up in it.
Stay there.
This practice is designed to push you forward.
Mm-hmm. Like we were talking about, at some point, like it's not negating whatever you've done before, because whatever a journey has brought you to where you are now is necessary for you to be here to learn this lesson.
Yeah.
You couldn't go forward from here without being here, and everything else has brought you to here, right? And if we can have, you know, in simple terms, if we can have faith in the fact that the universe is conspiring for all of our highest good, then those things were what was necessary to bring us here. Right?
Right. Yeah, your past experiences is a part of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not the only part of who you
mm-hmm.
are.
Thank goodness.
Right?
Thank goodness. Is it defining who you are.
Exactly.
I think it's
our
really
identity
important.
Gets wrapped up in, we choose particular experiences that potentially, a lot of times this happens in trauma, you know, our identity gets wrapped up in that situation.
Well, and also our learning that our experiences are reward or punishment is also, I think, a huge part of that. Because, you know, whatever we have gone through, positive or negative, are of no indication of the value of the human going through the experience or of their quality, right? We didn't have positive or negative experience in life because that's what we deserve. That has nothing to do with it. And that's a really hard thing, I think, for some people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this crazy thing. Like, there are so many people I love dearly that I wish I could take away. There are so many experiences. And I'm so vitally aware of the blessing of so many of mine. You know, but I don't think that I deserved that. Right? It is that truly is a gift.
There is, yeah, well, coming back to not qualifying something as good or bad, it just happened. Can we start to look at something like that? These are my experiences that have led me to this point. And now I'm having new experiences.
Yeah. I mean, that's hard. It's easy for me with someone who's had a pretty blessed life to be like, you know, not that it's without challenges or, you know,
no, I traumatic totally
experiences,
understand what you're
but
saying.
I,
yeah.
It's still like, you know, it's easy for me as someone who has been in, you know, in the realm of the world, very blessed to be like, oh, well, you know, those experiences brought me to where I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but the fundamental extraordinariness of the human being and mm-hmm.
I mean, we call it a journey for a reason. Like, it's a little bit of a cliched term, but, you know, we are journeying through life. There are different experiences that we can open ourselves up to. What happened in the past doesn't have to be what happens in the future.
Mm, for sure. For sure. what a gift that is too. Mm. You know? And then back to what you were talking about, I think that potentially one of the most potent ways in order for, you know, the journey forward is to, in this present moment, choose to drop expectation, to allow for magic, to allow for, you know, what we haven't dreamt of yet. You know, back to that story about my back tap. But part of the, you know, one of the really big lessons that I choose to be reminded of through that lifelong ink is that while I can dream big, I believe that the universe is capable of things that have never occurred to me. And I don't want to be limited by my dreams, as vast as they are. I want to be open to limitless potential, magic beyond my wildest imaginings. And that requires dropping expectation. It requires being willing to fly in the unknown. You know, it requires being willing to believe, you know, there's no net, but there also is no ground. That's okay.
Yeah.
You know, like all of those things. And the sensation of that most of the time is unknown.
Yeah.
It's choosing that that feeling in my belly is butterflies, not nausea.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And, magic. I love magic.
It's like your favorite word.
I know. Truly.
Yeah.
Truly. I totally have an expectation I'm going to walk into the kitchen now and I'm going to actually see a fairy.
Because you said the word magic.
Because
so
I've
much.
Dropped my expectations. Yes. There will be a fairy in my kitchen. I know they're there. I just haven't seen any.
Yes.
Changing my perception. Heading back to the Isle of Skye right now.
Right now. Get on a plane. Go.
Mm-hmm. Because that's where they live. I saw their homes everywhere.
Yay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And I want to say a really big thank you to everybody for continuing to text Lisa and I, write us on social media, you know, everything.
Yeah.
We received a message the other day that we're both now really inspired to talk about. So thank you so much. You'll be hearing that like in a future episode. So sometimes without a special request episode, you're going to get one anyway. But if you do have something that you want, that you're thinking about, that you think that we should talk about on the podcast, we would really welcome that.
We would, yes, love that. And I want to echo your gratitude. It is amazing. It like makes my heart soar every time we hear from someone who has been inspired or had
something resonated
or something resonated or it's really amazing. And we still have some plans in the works for some live events, so we'll keep you up to date because we would really like to gather in person.
Yes, we'll let you know that schedule soon, probably in the next couple of weeks. We'll have a schedule for the fall of some live events. In New York City and also not in New York City.
Yes.
So we're working on it.
Working on it.
Wonderful. Well, until next time.
Until next time, Dhanyavadaha.